When God wanted to speak to the world, the language he spoke was Jesus. There isn't any place we should go before we go there. When the disciples talked about Jesus, there was something very different about it than anything else they discussed. If they talked about Scripture, it now had taken on a different meaning. Otherwise, they never talked about Scripture without a foundation of Jesus. Follow where I'm going with that? They didn't take Scripture by itself and say, this passage means this. They didn't try to hit, excuse me, but they didn't try to hit homosexuals over the head with some passage out of Deuteronomy. They didn't try to hit an anti-abortionist over the head with some passage out of Leviticus. They didn't try to use Scripture that way. They instead saw Scripture differently after being in the presence of Jesus. So this is how they wrote. And listen carefully to it. Because this is such an incredibly powerfully meaningful passage to me that has done something deep inside of me from almost day one in my own Christianity. So here's what John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And so that you catch this, I believe the NIV got the importance of this one wrong. They footnote it, but they're the only translation that did this to it. Okay? But the darkness has not understood it. Put within that too, as the footnote says. And the darkness has not overcome it. I love the overcoming piece. Darkness can't overcome Jesus in this world. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. Through him, Jesus. All men, through the Word, all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. And the Word became flesh, and made his dwelling among us, moved into our neighborhood. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, I want you to hear something. What I believe and what I want to pass on more than anything I could possibly imagine passing on. Because I believe if it comes across to you and you take this and you actually begin to live it out, it will change your perspective on everything you look at in life. I want you to note that there isn't anything that is more important than Jesus. He is the translation of these languages. He is the meaning behind them. And that's what changed when Jesus came into the world as the very Word of God. So, He is the translation of this language. Let me give you the first one, because I'm going to use that term loosely, as you will see, but you'll understand it. He is the translation of the language called God. How many of you don't quite get God? I hope all of you raise your hand somehow, inside or outside. How many of you don't quite get God? Otherwise, you can't get him all the way. He's not understandable to you fully. I hope the mystery never goes out of God. I hope somebody with this finite mind doesn't say, although there's been a whole lot of people, I think, in Christianity that have done that over the years, but I hope that we have gone past the time when somebody stands up and says, I get God, I understand him completely. Just ask me, I'll give you the answer. I hope we get past that. But what Scripture has taught us that is so wonderful, not just Scripture, what Jesus has taught us, the Word has taught us that is so wonderful, is that God has given us a direct translation of himself in human flesh. We call him Jesus. When you want a translation of God, just get to know Jesus everywhere you possibly can. So many times people will say, well, the Bible says this, or this is how God sees it, and I want to go, do you not? Have the Gospels in your Bible? Have you not seen the life of Jesus? Have you not understood the response of Jesus? Have you not followed what he does when he comes to a woman at the well who's had five husbands and the one she's with now is not her own? Have you not felt the heart of God in the heart of this wonderful, wonderful human being who came right from God's heart and lived among us? If we're going to translate God, please don't translate him through any other source. Don't say, well, I believe in God. If you are calling yourself Christian and saying something that's different than how Jesus presented himself to us. Do you follow that? Now, see how what happened with the disciples on the second one. I have had so many people say, and you hear it over the years, and you hear it constantly, the Bible says. I want you to hear something. We know the Bible and we know how to interpret it. We know best how to make it work if we simply know that first and foremost, there is one who was the living Word of God. And if we are taking something here out of the context of the living Word of God and how he responded to human beings and to men and women on this earth, then we have not understood the Word of God correctly. How many denominations are there? Can anybody remember from those elephant in the room days? I think we're over 4,000 now. But isn't it interesting that all of those denominations say that they believe in the Word of God and the following it to the T? It's interesting to me that this is very much like God himself. It's often difficult for us, and there's a lot of mystery in it. And there are a lot of things in the way it's written that we may not understand like we think we understand them. But if we see it through the light of Jesus' life, it takes on a different view altogether. The church itself, how should the church be? Well, I can tell you this. What we've done in our culture, when we build up the Bible, we put Jesus within it. If we do it from the aspect of the church, we put Jesus within it. And there's nothing wrong in the motivation there. I've never known people in the church, at least not very many, but who have bad motivation in how they see the church. But know this. The church is simply this. It is the extension of Jesus himself. He's the head of the church. And so how he thinks and how he acts is how the church ought to be. And oftentimes we get caught up in what the church ought to be like, when what we need to do is simply get caught up in what Jesus is like and how he sees things and how he thinks. And the church becomes the natural extension of that thought. And Christendom the same way. Because the more people in this world that get to become Christians, the more you have this issue of Christendom. Because you have nations that majorities in those nations are Christians. And the minute you have that happening, you have what rises up that we call Christendom. So in the United States of America, we would like to say we're a Christian nation. Nations, it doesn't make sense. It'd be better to say we're a nation of Christendom, because we think out of our Christianity. But what we need to understand is that if we're going to be a part of what we call Christendom, where Jesus is the center, then it isn't so important that the nation is Christian. It's more important that somehow we get back to how Jesus sees people and how he sees life and how he responds. How different that is. And life itself and the way we live and what truth is are not things that are separate anymore from Jesus. No. Once he stepped in to this world, he became the visible likeness of the invisible God. When that happened, everything changed. Life as God saw it, and life as he intends it to be lived, is lived out in Jesus. So, do I worry about things like, if I can find a doctrine of prosperity, say, in Scripture? Where in the world did we get those kind of things? We start to take doctrines separate from the very nature and life and character of Jesus himself. Then we start coming up with crazy things that we can support by finding passages in here. Jesus is truth. He lives it out. And if I live out my life in the same way that he lives it out, I walk in truth. It doesn't matter how much I know, it's how I live that says whether I walk in truth or not. If I want to understand the difference between grace and law, I look to Jesus himself and I find the difference between grace and law. It's there because God speaks to us in Jesus. And everything changes, all attributes of character. For many years, I did things like study the attributes of God. And I would go everywhere trying to find the attributes of God. And I studied people like A.W. Tozer, who wrote some of the most fantastic stuff on the attributes of God. And this is nothing negative about that, his works or anything else. But I often think that we study things that are unimportant. It's like God saying, why are you trying to figure me out? And I'm omniscient. What, so? Yeah? I know everything. Okay, so people are down there saying, okay, and here's what you got to know about God. He knows everything. He has all the power there is in the entire universe. All those things. And when he looks down, he says, as human beings, didn't I speak God to you? I spoke it. It's the language of Jesus. And it's enough. But we get caught up in all of the other pieces when what God is saying is, Jesus is enough. And if I can say anything to you, it's this: Jesus must be the lens for everything else. Everything else. I can't tell you how vital that is. It'll be the source of frustration to you in Christian circles if you let him be the lens to everything else. Because in spite of what we would like to think, that we would never reject Jesus if he came, in Christian circles today, what you will discover, but I long for you to discover it in a wonderful way, and that it make no difference in your life whether others don't understand this or not, is that if you let Jesus be the lens to everything else, to God himself, to the Bible, to the church, to Christianity, to life, to the way you live, to truth itself, to what love is and what it's all about, to all the attributes and the character and the nature of God, if you will let Jesus be the lens, it will transform the way you live. Nothing else does that. I want to tell you again, I don't believe the little song we sang all those years as I was a child. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Get to know Jesus. Let it be the focus of your life every day. You'll grow, grow, grow. Sad to say, the most difficulty in the church today comes from those who have read their Bible and prayed every day. I don't mean that from all of you. But the ones that you can probably ask nearly any pastor. I don't know. I won't say that you could ask any pastor, but I can tell you that the ones who have given the most problems in churches almost everywhere I've ever been, and is never somebody from the outside, or it's never somebody in their simplicity who has followed and just falls in love with Jesus. It is those who have focused on their maturity as being knowledgeable in this, and that they discipline themselves every day to spend time praying. And that group, because I can tell you what's happened, is they simply have begun to look at life through the wrong lens. Can I tell you that when you look through the lens of Jesus, you begin to fall in love with the Father? When you look through the lens of Jesus, you begin to fall in love with the letter from God. When you fall in love with Jesus and you look through the lens of Jesus, you begin to see truth differently. You begin to see living differently. Jesus must be the lens. We cannot put him within anything. We must put everything within him. When God chooses to reveal himself, Jesus is the way he does it. That's how he does it. So, the first thing behind everything else that I will say is this. Jesus must be our lens. And I long to leave that with you so that you never look out of Deuteronomy again without Jesus. So that you never look or make assumptions about God again without Jesus. So that you never view Christendom or Christianity again without seeing it through the eyes and through the lens of Jesus. May you never say words about love again until you've understood through the lens of Jesus or truth or any of it. Worship team, come up. I just pray that this goes deep into our hearts and our souls this morning. Jesus is it. When it comes to how God speaks to us, he is the way and the truth and the life. And don't take that as some doctrinal thing to hit somebody over the head with, that they are or aren't a Christian. Instead, just know that that's the lens that will always be yours. It's he that is the way. It's he that is the truth. It's he that is the life. When we want to come and find the Father, we come through Jesus. Amen.